Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, for our winning women, Pastor Angela Waite brings a teaching entitled, You Will Let Him Go. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and challenging message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
He was beautiful. God said he was beautiful. He was a leader. He was a patriot. He was a statesman and a legislator. But his greatest honor is that he was called a friend of God. I don't know about you tonight, but that was a pretty significant list that I just gave you. And the most and the greatest important one of all is I'm a friend of God. Without question, Moses is the greatest in the Old Testament. His name is mentioned 767 times in the Old Testament. It is mentioned 79 times in the New Testament. He lived 120 years, the word tells us. And his life can be divided into three 40-year segments. Might make note of that. Three 40-year segments. The first 40 years were spent in the household of Pharaoh. As Pharaoh's son, he learned to be somebody. It took him 40 years. The next 40 years, he spent in the desert as a fugitive. In the desert, he learned how to become a nobody. You're going to need to stay with me tonight. And in that last 40 years, he was devoted to leading the Israelites out of bondage. He learned to help everybody. 120 years, he learned three things. He learned to be somebody, and then he had to learn to be nobody, and then he had to learn to help everybody. 120 years. Moses answered God's call. It's about to heat up in here, so I'm going to need y'all to be ready. Moses answered God's call from the burning bush at 80 years old. Do I need to remind you that it was 80? He was 80 years old. And God said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am, quick to respond. And then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off, for the place where you are standing is in, you're in holy ground. You're on holy ground. Moses hid his face. Do you remember the story? He hid his face. Now, let me just stop right there and tell you something. He hid his face because he was in the presence of a holy God. Anybody else ever hide their face when you're in the presence? Or am I the only one? In the presence of God, every demon must bow. And that is the end of the story. We could go home right there. Moses, Moses, yes, sir. Did you respond yes, sir, the first time you heard your name called? Me either. We're just going to keep it real, okay? I want to tell you what happened. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look at God. Now, I don't know if this was apprehension or if it was humility. But the next thing he did was he started whining. Nobody in this room would do that. That was Moses. Did I mention he was a friend of God? Huh. Okay, let me show you what he said. Exodus 3:11, Moses. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He's saying, "I'm not good enough. Who am I that you would send me?" You don't have to raise your hand. I'll do it for you. Exodus 3:13, then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers,'" watch this, "'has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' What should I tell them?" Are you kidding me? It is what he said. "What should I tell them?" He is saying, "I don't have all the answers." He didn't ask him that. I'm going to need you to watch this. Exodus 4:1, then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" Okay. Did you get that? I'm going to move on then. Have you ever said, "Lord, they won't believe that you called me. They won't believe that you told me to do that"? That's not the question. But that was what he said. Exodus 4:10. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to me. I'm slow of speech." He's saying, "I'm a terrible public speaker. I stutter, I stammer." He didn't ask that. Just like he didn't ask you for the excuse. I'm going to move right along. It's a little hot in here tonight. Is it just me? Exodus 4:13. But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send somebody else. Send anybody else. Please don't make me do this." Now, I'm going to need you to be honest really fast. Anybody else in this room? Please send anybody else. Lift your hand right now. Whew, thank you. I'm in good company. Please, please don't make me do it. Okay, I'm going to tell you a quick story. When the Lord called me, I begged him, "Please, please, please send Jay." I'm serious if he's up there. I begged him, "Please send Jay. Don't make me do it. You know I stuttered as a child. You know I can't speak. Lord, please don't make me do this." My husband was an elder in the Presbyterian church. I love the Presbyterian church. He never told me about Jesus. Oh, how he loved me. But he never told me about Jesus. Don't let that be you. He didn't know. You don't know what you don't know, as Ruth Hudson says. Some church folk, they don't talk about Jesus. Walking lightly. It's being taped right now. Some folks, church folk, don't talk about Jesus. Amazing. Yeah. So I begged him to please send Jay. I cried for 3 days. I pulled my hair. I laid in the floor. I don't even remember if I got a shower for 3 days. I pleaded. And my husband, the Lord never said a word to me about it. He just let me wallow. And my husband, he's so sweet. You know what he said? And he meant it. I'll never forget it. He looked at me and he said, "Honey." Now, I'm the one with the bad past, not him. His life was great. It was clean. He doesn't have any of those ugly marks like me. Okay? "Please, it makes way more sense. I think you missed it. Please." Jay said, "With all the baggage religious baggage that I have, it would take him longer to get that off of me than it would be to get you ready. Wow. Number five is my favorite. That'll preach all day right there. Can I tell you, Moses missed the point completely, and so did I. It's not about you. It never is. It's about what he can get through you to someone else. Amen? All he was doing was asking him to be the voice to save Israel, to fulfill the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I say, is he asking you to be a voice too? I'm going to move right on past that. Honestly, in Moses' defense, he did what you and I do. He gave him a whole list of things, whole list of reasons why he couldn't say yes. Moses wanted to hide behind the human instinct. Don't we all? Let me just tell you, he calls the humble and he works his flawless plan through it, the broken vessel. He doesn't call the flawless. He never calls the flawless. He calls the humble and works his flawless plan through that broken vessel sitting right there. If you'll say yes. I believe God responds to Moses in righteous anger. This is my interpretation. Did I mention that he was 80 years old? And did I mention he didn't want to do it? And did I mention that his brother is 83? He needed his big brother. And I believe out of righteous anger, God allowed it. Chew on that a while. He didn't say you and your brother. A lot of theologians believe that those five excuses that I just gave you took place over a 3-day period, which means he attempted to wear God down. Are you kidding? God Almighty for 3 days? And then I had to look at that and go, so did I. 3 days I wallowed. He didn't care. He just let me wallow. He let Moses wallow too. But let me tell you something about Moses. When this aged shepherd, after he gave the five excuses and tried to wear God Almighty down and couldn't do it, you know what he did? He picked himself up and he spent his life following him. That's what he did. Held faithful until death. There's a lot to learn right there. This man that I described earlier in the book of Exodus is the same courageous, remarkable, obedient man that I described just a few chapters later. That tells me there's hope for us. God works with us right where we are to take us right where we need to be. But we have to stop making excuses, and I'm going to prove it to you, okay? You know, our excuses really aren't that much different than his. Not really. I'm divorced. Well, Naomi was a widow. I'm too damaged. Well, Lazarus was dead. I've made too many mistakes. Paul was a murderer. I'm not qualified. Do you think Hosea was qualified? He was married to a prostitute. I'm a woman. So was Mary and Elizabeth and Huldah and... Should I go on? Thank you. I'm too old. Jeremiah was too young. You see, we try this. When I lose 50 pounds, I'm going to do it. I can stand before those people when I drop 50 pounds because I'll stop. I just need you to stop. So does he. When I get that passport, I'll be ready. I'm going to push right through that. My education is not adequate. Neither was Jesus. I'm tired of fighting. I am tired. I'm just done. I'm going to need you to stop. Because let me tell you something. You're not the only one that's tired. You're not the only one that's been tired. I buried my 3-year-old son. Do you think I want to give up? You better believe I did. Loving Jesus with every ounce of my being. I know you're tired, and I know you want to give up. But I'm here to tell you, just like he scraped me up off the carpet, he'll scrape you up too if you'll ask him. That is the bottom line. You just got to ask. Let me show you this. God said to Moses in Exodus 3:12, I will be with you. I will be with you. If he said that he would be with Moses, do you think he won't be with you? On Sunday, the Lord gave me a very hard word during worship, and I shared it with the church. And I have not been able to stop thinking about it. And it just connected right here today. And this is what he said. He said, breathe. It'd be a good time to breathe. He said, you know, sometimes he spanks us. He said, don't. And it was that tone. You know that tone? Yes. Don't act like I'm not in your presence. Don't you act like I'm not there. It buckled me. Because if we had a real understanding, just like Moses did, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second, that he's right there, right with you while you're battling whatever it is you're battling, if you have that revelation, then why are we hiding? Why is there fear if he has us completely surrounded? That's the real question. If you have the understanding that I am in your midst, are you serious? That was a hard word. He's been talking to me about excuses. And I believe that is why Moses is the topic tonight. Powerful man of God. And this is what I felt like he said to me about it. We must stop making excuses. We must stop making excuses because they usually lead to sin. We must stop because they usually lead to sin. I'm going to prove it. Sit back and let me read a quick parable to you. The parable of the great banquet. This was his idea, not mine. You ready? A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, everything is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, well, you know, I've bought this field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And then another said, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go examine them. Please have me excused. And then another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry. He became angry. And he said to the servant, go out quickly. Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, sir, What you commanded has been done, and still there's no room. And the master said, go to the servant. Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you this. Okay. None of those men that were invited shall taste my banquet. The excuses were property, possessions, family, relationships. The excuses that we're making for life, for disobeying God, and for avoiding the truth, they're destroying us. God takes it seriously. If you don't believe that, go back one more time and read that. The excuses that we house are the very things that the enemy intends to destroy you with. They're the very things that are stealing your destiny. The things that some of us have grabbed a hold of and taken ownership of. Almost treating them like a child. We're making the same excuses day after day, month after month. And he says, I see, watch this. He says, I see the continual suffering. Wait a minute. I see the continual suffering, he said. Guess what that means? See means I am seeing the continual suffering. That means day after day, month after month, we're making those same excuses that are destroying our destinies. That's what it means. He says, I am seeing you. I am seeing the bondage, the continual bondage that you've taken ownership of. I am seeing it. I believe he is saying, stop it! Stop it! Won't you stop it? Why is he yelling? Because I believe he's already tried the gentle nudge. For some of us in this room, he has gotten to the place he's at the top of his lungs because we're not listening. And I'm telling you, he's talking about excuses. I believe we're past the gentle nudge. We're in a place right now where it's time to pull up your bootstraps. That's where we are. In Exodus 3:7, the Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of slave drivers. That means the things they're enslaved to. I know how much they're suffering. I am seeing how much they're suffering. And he yells, let my people go. I see you. Let my people go. I think it starts out like this. Let them go. And then it moves on to, you will let them go. And then from there, I think it looks a little bit like this. That's my interpretation. I want to remind you what happened when Moses said, yes, after the excuses, there's hope. I want to show it to you. God used him and Aaron to demonstrate miracle after miracle in front of Pharaoh and his court. 10 plagues, do you remember them? They were ugly. And the whole time God is saying, let them go. Let my people go. After 430 years, the Israelites were finally freed. And there's just one more miracle that has to take place. I want you to watch this. The children of Israel leave, and Pharaoh changes his mind. Can he do that? Evidently, he can. He changes his mind. I had to read that a few times, but that is what happened. Because you see, he thought they were going to go and come back. But at some point in all of that, he realized they're never coming back. Huh. They're never coming back. He ain't never coming back. Right? Watch this. So he realized they were never coming back. And then he obviously regretted that he let them go. He obviously regretted that he let them go. And one more thing happened. He was obviously unmoved by the hand of God in his face. Okay, we could stop right there and preach all day. God moved in his midst, in his face, right, signs and wonders and demonstrations, and he was unmoved. No, I cannot imagine that. He's completely unmoved. 10 plagues, and he's unmoved. That says something to me. That tells me the kind of enemy we're dealing with. Do you really think that the enemy of your soul is going to nab at you one time and be done? No. He's going to wear you down until there's nothing left. He's going to wear you down until you drop to your knees and cry out to a holy God. That's what's going to happen. But you got a choice to make. Oh, you got a choice to make. Because I'm telling you, I was studying and all of a sudden I went, what? Are you telling me that he saw the 10 plagues? Okay, I'm just saying. You can't deny what is happening, and it's the hand of God. Water doesn't turn to blood. No. You cannot deny what you are seeing. I had a friend once say, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Well, evidently, Pharaoh could. I'm telling you, you think that doesn't sound like the enemy? He will wear you down. It's a wake-up call. He's not playing with you. The enemy is not playing with you. You better shut him down completely. We're going to talk about that. So here's what happens. They're free. Now, I don't know how tired Moses was. Moses was an old man. I don't know how far the trek was, Kim. But that man was tired. And I just had a visual as I was studying. It was just for me, I guess, but I'm going to share it with you because it was really funny. So I'm studying. I'm like, that dude was whooped. He had to have been. I don't know. He was worn out. And I just had this visual. All these people are behind him, and he's like, all this complaining, and we're hot. And oh my gosh, the Red Sea? And you mean the army's coming up behind us to destroy us? What? Right. Now what? Right. After all of this? And there's the Red Sea, which translated, by the way, is the Red Sea. I have to say that. I'm going to move right along. But there it is. Now, I don't know You know, the word's precious, and it tells us that he lifted his hands and the sea parted. And I love that part. But I want to know what he said before he lifted his hands. Are you kidding me? Again? If he said it, they said it. Now, the more studying I did today and yesterday on this, this is what I found. They were mad. They were grumbling. They were ticked off. You mean after we did what you said, we're going to die anyway? Well, we did what you said, and now I want you to look at this mess we're in. If we go, well, we can't go that way. And they're coming up on our tails. Either God's going to do something or he's not. Did he say he was going to do something? If he told you something, he's going to do it. Bottom line. So then we get to the next part. It says, he lifted his hand. Y'all seen the show on TV? He lifted his hand. I just want to do that. Like, he lifts his hand. Now, I don't know. Stop, Leanne. I don't know. Okay, you're not ready for this. I don't know if that water, it's debatable. I don't know if that water was 20 feet deep. I don't know if that water was 100 feet deep. It's debatable. People, you know, I'm not getting into that. All I know is they couldn't cross it. And if that water was knee deep, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Oh, okay. It was not knee deep. We know that. Okay, so I have to wonder, do you think, go with me, it's my translation. Do you think that they're standing there, he lifts up his hand. I'm telling y'all, I can see it. He lifts up his hand. Okay, it says dry land, it's split, so there's dry land. You know it was mucky. But they say dry, so we're going to go with it. But I still think it was mud. But so we've got this water parted. Did I tell you that that water is piranha infested? Did I tell you that there are poisonous sea creatures in the Red Sea? Did I tell you they will kill you? Yeah, they're in there. So then I asked this question. Here they are. And Moses is just going, did you see me do that? I want to do it again. Or either he was in awe. But anyway, did you see that? But so they're standing there. They've got a decision to make again. We are not, I'm telling you, they can make all kinds of excuses. Are we going over? Are we crossing or are we not? They really did have a decision to make. So here's what I'm thinking. It's split, just to get a visual here. So I don't know how wide it is, but I'm looking going, Lord, look at those piranha in there. Okay, do I trust God? Do I step out into that mud or do I run like a wild woman? Or do I look at that situation and go, there ain't no way I'm doing that. Huh. Do you think they counted the cost? Do you think some of them said, I tell you one thing, I'm going through. And the reason I'm going through is because he opened the door. Okay, I'm going through because he opened the door. If I die, I'm going to die free. I'm not going to stand here and let them overtake my tail.
That's right.
Because I'm right back to bondage. Are you going to take the risk and count the cost?
That's right.
I believe that's what they did. So then I look at our, I just think about myself. I'm not thinking about y'all right now. I'm only talking to me. Because some of us are at that crossroad. Well. Not in this room. But some of us, some people are at the crossroads. You hadn't even thought about counting the cost. Because familiarity, whoo, that will wrap you up like a warm blanket on a cold night. It will also destroy you if you're walking out of the will of God. The very thing that is trying to overtake you is the thing that some of us, the thing that some of us hide behind in comfort. And it is literally brought to you, delivered firsthand by the enemy. And I'm just going to say this really quick, and then I'm going to go past it because it was one of those things the Lord said, so I'm just going to say it, and I'm going to tell you one of those things, and it's sickness. It's sickness. All good things are from God. I know sickness is a result of the fall. I get it. But if we grab hold of that thing that is trying to take your life and take ownership of it, we just lost. Sometimes it becomes an excuse because we get more attention with it than we do without it. Do you remember what Jeremiah said to God when he called him? He said he was too young, remember? And what did God say? I'll be with you. Oh, he told Jeremiah just like he told Moses, didn't he? If he told you to do a thing, then do the thing. It's just that easy. So I'm going to break it down really. It's just that easy. If we believe that we're in the presence of a holy God, as he said, don't even act like I'm not there. If we truly understand that we're in his presence and he has told us a thing, then what are we doing if we're not doing it? I'm going to need an answer. So are you saying you don't believe you're in his presence if we don't do it? I'm going to take it one step further. Whoo! I'm just getting on toes right now, but I just got to say this right here, and then I'm going to go hurry. I'm going to hurry. One step further. You ready? God had Moses tell Pharaoh, let my people go, didn't he? Multiple times, let my people go. Like, I can just hear that. You will let them go. Because God doesn't play. You will let them go. Do you remember the rest of the story? Why did he say, you will let them go? Do you remember? He said, you will let them go so that they might worship me. Let me tell you something. Israel wasn't freed of their chains so they could live any old way they wanted to. So with that being said, why would he take the chains off, set me free when I have no intention of making any changes? Oh, I'm going to need somebody to hear that right there. Why would he set you free if he wouldn't set Israel free? He said, you let them go. You will let them go so they can worship me. If that is the truth, and it is, then why would he? I don't care how many times you come to the altar. I'm about to say this. I don't care how many times you come to the altar. If your heart's not right and you're not ready to make that 360-degree shift, why would he? He's God. He already knows what your intentions are. Jesus. Oh, he already knows. And I'm going to show you one more thing about that. Are y'all breathing? Okay. I love his word. Okay. One more thing he showed me. You ready? That the people of Israel, they were hostages. Okay. The people of Israel, they were hostages. Can I tell you what a hostage is? It is someone who is deprived of privilege, power, and freedom. A hostage is not dead, they're just powerless. A hostage is not dead, they're just powerless. That could be about half the church. Yes? Not dead, just almost. Might as well be. Not dead. Close. Powerless. Whew. That right there, just preach. Okay. Not dead, just powerless. Aaron, can you show us a really short clip? It's like 7 seconds, but I need you to see this video clip really quick. Okay, listen.
Gentiles don't fear the rulers of the land, with one exception. Today, the pride's protector has earned his keep.
Proverbs 30:30 says this. A lion, mighty among beasts, who retreats from nothing. I might have to run on that one. I retreat from nothing. The lion is the mightiest of beasts. It walks with great majesty. Okay, watch this. They walk with great majesty. They walk slowly and calculated, and they always start with the left foot. Watch this. Here's the other thing that they do. The shoulders gently sway. Have you ever seen them walk? They linger, and they end up exactly where they intended to. Huh. Let me show you what a coward does. Let me show you what fear causes man to do. The first thing we do is we drop our eyes. The lion is looking for predators. Who is out for me? We're talking about the enemy. All eyes wide open, watching. Fear causes you to look down. You don't even see the hit coming. You don't see him coming because your eyes are down. Here's the next thing you do when you're afraid. How do I know this? Because I walked years in fear. You ready? Here's the other thing you do. You try to get really small. You don't pull your shoulders back. And let me tell you the other thing you do. You don't sway. You get really small. You're looking down. And I remember holding my fist. I couldn't look anybody in the eyes. Terrified. That is what fear does. Let me tell you something else about the lion. Not only is he eyes wide open, he's smelling for the predators. Huh. He's smelling. There is a fragrance when you're in the presence of God. And let me tell you, there's a fragrance when you're not. And the lion knows that well. Fear, you're oblivious to it. That's how you get got. Whenever I... Oh, one last thing about the lion. Did you know that the lion's roar... I'm going to need y'all to write this down. Did you know that the lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away? That is a fighter. Did you see why that crocodile, it says there's only one beast the crocodile is afraid of the land, only one, and it is the lion. Why? Because he never backs down. He never backs down. Eyes wide open, and he's looking, and he's smelling. He knows. 5 miles. When I think of Proverbs 30:30, I think of a roar that sounds like this. Because of me, my daughters never back down. Because of me. Why would we? Because of me, you keep your eyes wide open. There's nothing to fear because of me. He says, it's kind of like this. If you don't know what you're fighting, if you have no idea what you're fighting, and you stand up and you are ready, you pull that thing back, you get that. You are ready. You have no idea what you're fighting. How are you going to hit the mark?
That's right.
If you don't even know which way to pull the thing.
That's right.
It's like jail. You better use what you got in your hands, and you better know. You better be a master craftsman. You better be a master craftsman. How do you even know where to point the thing? If you're walking in fear, you don't. You can't. Because you're not looking. And because you're not smelling. You're not waiting. You're not watching. You're not listening. Your senses aren't keen. You're not. And I'm telling you, he'll sneak in on you. God sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." Jesus says to Satan, "Let them go." And I'm going to give you something to think about tonight. And I say to you, release yourself and be free.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.